Today on Real Life Radio.
Everyone has sinned and falls short of God's glorious standard. Now you can be offended at that, or you can say, thank you for explaining that to me. Now things make sense when I see that verse and then look at the world. The world's crazy.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J. thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Part 2 continues in the book of Philippians chapter 2 with verses 5 through 11. In these verses, Paul encompasses everything about who Jesus Christ really is. He's God, he's the Savior, our Lord, and he came so that we might have eternal life. We've all been wronged at some point in our lives, that's the truth. And our response to this injury bears witness to the fact that there is evil in this world. The damaging effects of sin not only hurt us, but all of creation as well. There is no greater sin, however, than the one we've inflicted on the heart of God. For this reason, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. His sacrifice conquered evil and broke the destructive power of sin. Today, Pastor Jack describes for us Christ's humanity. He lacked nothing, and yet He set aside His deity to become a man. He humbly and joyfully went to the cross to die so that we can have everlasting life. Now, as our high priest and mediator, he pleads our case before God. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your truth and for your word, Lord. The power of your word. We're here this morning, the sun coursing through the sky, obeying your command. It's on a circuit. Your word tells us. The weather, Lord, is doing as you have directed. Our hearts are beating this morning, blood pumping through us. It's awesome. Lord, here we are, literally by the nanosecond, dependent upon you. And so, Father, we ask in Jesus' name that even now your word would leap up off the page and we wouldn't know more about you today to know more about you, but we would know more about you so that we would know you personally. God, help us if we are only acquiring data and not being transformed from the inside out. We will be no different than theologians. You said to us, you must be born again. So, Lord, we pray now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. And we'll start again from where we were last week. Pick it up. But I got to tell you right now, we need this. We need the portion of Scripture before us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. We need it. And we're going to have several weeks digesting it for this reason. You remember perhaps last week that I announced to you that there are many scholars of antiquity up until today making the same observation, the same comment, that this may perhaps be the most important portion of New Testament theology. That's a huge statement. But the reason why they say it, and the reason why they're tempted to say it, Philippians 2, 5 through 11, is because it carries with it in capsule form the entire purpose of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The announcement of the Messiah, that mankind's salvation is wrapped up in one individual and that it's something that he has performed. And that's a very serious thing. It's a very, very important declaration. And imagine that. If it is as important as scholars say it is, then that says that the Old Testament, though it is obviously God's word, it's all pointing toward the meaning of this portion of Scripture. That what the prophets spoke of is answered in this portion of Scripture. Second chapter of the book of Philippians, chapter 5, verse through 11, although we'll just be in verse 8 today, but 5 through 11 in the context is, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man," just that statement alone is off the charts unique, "he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Somebody say amen. Amen. That is an awesome statement. Listen, have you ever been wronged by somebody, or have you ever had harm done to you? Why don't you raise your hand? You can raise both of them if it's really sensitive to you. Of course, all of us would raise our hand. And you don't have to be a Christian to figure that one out. You just have to be breathing right now. Has someone wronged you? And what was it that they did to you? And you have been in some way maligned. Your assessment or your response to that pain inflicted upon you bears witness of the fact that there is evil sin in the world. You can be an atheist, but you would have to agree with us that you had your feelings hurt or somebody hurt you in a very important way. The conclusion is, that's wrong, and it happened to me. What are you really admitting is that there's sin in the world. You can change all the words you want. The bottom line is this: the Bible calls it sin. And there's no greater sin than when we read about the human race having inflicted upon the heart of God in rebellion. Sin. It's ever present. Sin is what has marked this world in which we live in. Now, look, I don't mean to offend anybody, but hear me out on this. You can be a Hannibal Lecter, and it's obvious you're a sinner. But have you ever thought about that you could be a Mother Teresa, and according to the scale of God's judgment, be as guilty as a Hannibal? You say, I disagree with that. It doesn't matter what our assessment is. The Bible tells us that all have sinned. In fact, the Bible tells us that sin is so powerful and it has so permeated the world in which you and I live in that you can look around at the world and see the damages of sin. I don't want to bum you out about this, but it goes directly in line. In fact, the verse I'm going to give you right now, I'll tell you the reason after I read this verse, why I'm using this verse this morning regarding sin and how it affects the human family. In Romans chapter 8, verse 21, the Bible says, "For creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption," that sin, "into the glorious liberty of the children of God." That's us being born again. There's a change coming, the Bible says. Romans 8, 22, "For we know that the whole of creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now." Nature is under the sway of sin. And we know that. We see that. Just this week, I saw a terrible example, which is why I use this verse. When I saw it happen, this verse came to my mind. I was going through the canyon down in Orange County for a doctor's appointment. And going into the county, the traffic was bumper to bumper in the morning, as you guys all know, stop and go. But the oncoming or coming into the city here, the town, it was just full speed ahead. And a big, beautiful, mature coyote was to my right, and he had his winter coat on. You see how beautiful they are with their winter coat? I mean, he was huge, beautiful. And you could see it, you know, you could see it happening. You could see it coming. He's going across the road from right to left, makes it through the parked cars, steps out into the oncoming lane to go up the mountaintop. And unfortunately, it would have been better if the car would have just struck him dead, but it was worse than that. The vehicle hit him and broke both of his front legs. Exactly. And he's floundering about, trying to run, but it's like noodles. He couldn't stand up. And so his face on the asphalt with his back legs running, he's scooting along the ground, trying to get out of the way of peril, and goes up the hillside only to tumble down right back into traffic. Exactly. And I looked at that. I was grieved and I was sick and I called home and, "Don't tell me that," you know. And exactly how you feel right now, right? But I wanted to share my grief with people. I wanted to spread the love around, and that made me sick. And immediately I thought of this verse in Romans, that sin is affecting even nature. You know, you look out in the backyard, or you see this beautiful dove in our backyard, or a robin singing, and then poof, big puff of feathers, as a hawk stands there and begins to pluck it and eat it right in the backyard. Why does that happen? Sin. It's sin. The Bible says there was no death in the world until sin entered the world. Did you know that? And sin affects us, every one of us. Now, I was trying to give you an illustration. I just did one verbally. But I thought, you know, what does sin do to people? So I was going to put pictures of people who've been affected by sin. And I thought, well, that may not be very nice. And who knows, I could pick a picture and you're sitting here today. That wouldn't have been good. So I'm going to show you a couple of pictures of what sin can do. By the way, these pictures I'm going to show you, it turns out that these dogs, now look, this dog was burned in a fire. This dog was attacked by dogs. This dog had cancer. He looks very demon-possessed, but according to the website, he was a very nice guy. But let me tell you something, that's ugly. And God doesn't do this. This is what sin does to nature. This is what sin does. I mean, that's pathetic. Next picture. You could tell that dog was out too late last night. This is not how God creates. This is what sin does to the world. Next picture. Now, this one's great. I don't know if this dog is a victim of chasing parked cars, or the front end stopped before the rear end stopped, or he was just flat on rear-ended at a high speed, but something happened there. Ramifications of sin makes ugly the human race, let alone nature. What is the purpose and the need for Jesus Christ to come to the cross or to go to the cross? Was to break the power of sin. So much of the world that you and I experience and live in, we have a tendency to think, well, that just must be an expression of God, or maybe that's okay with him. No, it is not okay. Jesus went to the cross to do business first, to take away the curse of sin in our lives. And then there's a day coming when he returns and he repairs even creation itself. That will be a good day. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned and falls short of God's glorious standard. Now, you can be offended at that, or you can say, thank you for explaining that to me. You can say, now things make sense. You look around at this world, and I'm grateful for that verse. Now things make sense when I see that verse and then look at the world. The world's crazy. Yeah. Things are being done to people that are wrong. Why? Sin. And Jesus is coming back. And that's a glorious, wonderful truth. So we pick it up where we left off, verse 8. The fact that only God can save you now is our continued title of this message. And he saves exclusively by going to the cross. And we know this exclusively, and that is by becoming human for you and I. Becoming human for us. Verse 8, profound statement of deity, and yet his being human. And being found in appearance as a man. A unique statement about Christ. That Jesus Christ became a human. Not true of us. You and I had no choice in the matter. We are what we are. He, who he was, became like us. What did he do with that? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, says the Bible. This is a profound and awesome statement. And remember last time we talked about how you and I in this need that attorney figure to represent us before the cross. Jesus Christ came to be our representative before the very bar, the bench of God in heaven because of sin. He came for us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Hebrews 8. The Bible there tells us, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest. We not only have an attorney, Romans tells us, but we have a high priest, says the Bible, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty. Now look, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and leave the verse on the screen, everybody. Listen to this. Many of you have been brought up thinking that when you needed or had an issue, you would default and take your issue to your local priest. And you would confide in them, and then they would represent your case before God. I understand that if we lived 2,000 years ago. But the Bible here tells us in the book of Hebrews that we've got the high priest who is not only our high priest, but he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, the majesty on high. That is the kind of priest you and I must have. Because all he has to do is turn to his Father and say, Father, I'm representing Jack right now. And the Father would say, what about him? And Jesus, as your high priest, pleads your case. The Bible there goes on to tell us that in verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. Interesting, meaning there's a difference. There's a division between the one that's in heaven versus the one that's on earth. The one on earth is not the true. The one that was in Jerusalem, though it was real, though it was there, though it was given by God to have them build it, it's not the true one. It was only a pattern of the true one. There is a true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man, says the Bible. Hebrews 8:11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands. That is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. Remember that today. We'll come back to it. Once and for all. Only one time. What we're reading right now, Jesus only did once. It was that powerful. Not every year, not every day, but once. Having obtained eternal redemption. How long are you going to be saved in eternity? Forever. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator. The definite article, there's not two of them. There's not three, there's only one. Listen, today, you need this mediator, Jesus Christ, because friend, only God can save you now. Right. It's gotta be him. He's the mediator. He's the one, according to what the Bible says, that there's one mediator between mankind and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who pulls the two worlds together in himself. And all of human sin through Jesus meets the holy and righteous existence of God. Only through Jesus can man have that linkage with the forgiveness of God and the eternal hope that comes through him. But the Bible goes on. It says there and announces to us in 1 John chapter 2 that, my dear children, I am writing this to you that you will not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate, that's the word attorney, who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice. Now see, he's our high priest too. He's everything. That atones for our sins, and not for ours only, but the sins of all the world. Jesus Christ. He came to the cross to die for us. That was his mission, and it was his delight. Friends, listen. We'll hear in a moment. Jesus wasn't handed this order or this mandate that this is what he's got to go do. The Holy Spirit and God the Father didn't get together and flip a coin and it lands on Jesus and he's the one that's picked to go down there among all these ugly dogs and redeem us from the curse of sin. It was not like that. Before you were ever born, before your parents were ever born, before Adam and Eve were ever born, before anything of this physical universe was ever created, God and his eternal plan, because God cannot learn. Listen, he cannot learn anything. If he could learn, then he's less than God. He knows everything. He knew before Adam and Eve were ever created that they would sin. He knew that they would fade away from him in sin. He knew that you would be born. He knew that you would need salvation. And yet he went along with his plan perfectly because God had a plan of redemption. It's in his nature. It's amazing. How can we even fathom such a thing? I believe we cannot. But the second thing we see is that he exclusively performed what you and I could never do. Jesus did that. He performed salvation. Yesterday, Lisa and I were at a store, a grocery store, and the man's name, the young man, very young man, his name was Isaiah. And I don't know if it was Lisa or I, it doesn't matter, but one of us said, did you know you have a Bible name? And he goes, yeah. He wasn't very sure about that, but he must have heard that from somewhere. And I said, you ought to look your name up in Hebrew and then click on, when you look it up, click on, and it'll tell you your name Isaiah in Hebrew. And I said, it'll bend your mind. And it's almost impossible for some honky Gentile like myself to pronounce. I mean, it is tough. You got to be Hebrew to say it. And he goes, wow, I didn't know that. And I go, do you know what your name means? He goes, no. I go, your name means God is salvation. And he goes, I didn't know that. Listen, he just learned that. But yet God's name has always been salvation. We'll see this more in a moment. It's the plan of God. But Christ came to save us. And do you think for a moment you can save yourself? Do you think for a moment that, you know, God looks around the world and he sees Mike. Oh, Mike, you know, Mike, I died for all these people of the whole world. For God so loved the world. Yep, I died for all these people. But then, Mike, there's you. And if you're Mike right now, you're saying, yes, yes. Tell them, Lord, tell them. No, listen. Jesus died for you too, Mike. If your name's Mike, by the way, and your wife didn't text me to tell me to use your name, I'm just making it up, but if you're convicted right now, then apparently God told me to use your name. But how are you going to get to heaven? There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is that this God is the God of your salvation, and he saves you by going to the cross. Jesus went to the cross, and that was God's plan. And when the Bible tells us here in verse 8 that he humbled himself and became obedient, oh my goodness, the word humbled here means that he stepped down. We learned this last week. He stepped down. He self-humbled. Listen, you and I cannot do this. He stepped down. You and I do not step down from anything. He came here. It was a big deal for him to leave eternity and all the glories of heaven, a throne, to make, as it were, sandals his throne, a robe his covering, skin, human skin. Now, look, you may be young and you may like your skin. There's a day coming when your skin will become your enemy. You will wake up, and it's a nasty thing, part of the curse. Inside, listen, 58 years old I am, and inside I'm 21. Can I have an amen to everybody? I'm 21 in here. I can jump that. Watch. No, I can't. Let's do it. Come on, let's go. And I head 3 feet down the road, and it's like, oh man, I'm tired. Listen, young people, listen. You're always somehow in some cruel, mean trick of sin in the universe. Everyone's 21 on the inside. But as you age past 21, your body becomes not cool, but a carcass. And you gotta drag it around, you gotta perfume it and medicate it. You gotta do all this stuff. It's just hard work. And you and I start at nothing. And without Jesus, we end at nothing.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening. And not only can God save you, he wants to save you. It was God's love that compelled Christ to redeem us from our sins. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, Bible prophecy, especially from the book of Revelation, it's a fascinating subject, especially when it relates to current events. Now, you know, Pastor Jack can really dig in when it comes to prophecy and end times. You can watch Pastor Jack as he and his special guests discuss what the Bible says about the future, with topics like conflict in the Middle East, how our nation has turned its back on morality, and, of course, the global pandemic. You're sure to discover how it all lines up with the Bible and what God's plans are for his church in the end times. You can watch episodes of Happening Now when it's live on Facebook, also from Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, or at our website, that's jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com, that's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.